Hey, I'm... Why are you pointing
at me? You're Digital Dave, right.
I'm Digital Dave.
And no, I'm Fast Eddie.
Yeah. I think.
Wow. A little bit of rain and you're done.
I'm old.
Anyway. They were making coffee out there. I think I can smell it.
You can smell it in here.
I don't use coffee, but maybe I should.
Yeah, maybe I should take it up too.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? You know, we had so much fun with this guy yesterday. He's back. Steve McCaughey.
Seaplane
Pilots Association. No, they didn't drag him in here. I just think that nobody else wanted to come in.
Oh, no. Wow. Come on, guys.
Yeah, we have to make him look good. He told us that.
The check's in the mail, right, Steve?
Seaplane Pilots Association. Yeah. I mean, to me, I'm assuming it's an advocacy group for seaplane pilots.
Absolutely.
It's education and training for pilots, but you're saying it's much more than that.
Well, yeah, we produce the only four-color glossy magazine for the waterflying community. Myself, not including our team of volunteers around the country and our board members, are doing safety seminars and workshops not only here at AirVenture, but all over the country and literally all over the world.
So you I recommend that non-float plane pilots come too.
Absolutely. So, you know, as a seaplane pilot, I think one of the things that we offer non-seaplane pilots is in a world of digital cockpits and automation, we give pilots an opportunity to learn basic airmanship skills again and work on those stick and rudder skills that are at the core of being a good aviator.
You know, the one question I always have about seaplanes is how do you do engine run-ups? Like, you're running up the left engine,
on the
airplane's trying to go around in circles, and you can't really stop it.
No. So there's no brakes on a seaplane when you're in the water. When you start the engine, you're moving. So we actually do our run-ups on the fly. So we'll go into plow taxi mode and do your mag check and your run-up and everything else while you're moving.
That's interesting. And pre-flighting is always fun, trying to get out to the wingtip.
Especially if you've got a twin-engine airplane.
Yeah.
Good grief.
So we were talking about that yesterday with the Grumman Albatross. So
right.
One of the problems is you start the engine and the airplane will rotate around 180 degrees. So you really want to get that second start very quickly.
And hopefully, yes, it starts.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was going to say pre-flights, especially on a long-wing aircraft like a twin-engine, if you don't have a dock, you're walking on top of the wing if you need to check on anything.
You get creative.
Yeah, for sure. Well, they had those the wire that goes across the nose.
The walk wire.
You have to kind of tightrope your way across.
The true, you know, do not bring your iPhone on that adventure.
Oh, yeah. I guess you've done that, have you?
Seaplane pilots are a great business for Apple and Android.
And glasses. And
whatever else. Car keys.
When do you stop? I mean, as soon as water starts freezing, you guys stop flying floats.
The beautiful thing about float planes, most of them, is we can put bush wheels on them, regular wheels, or skis. So, it's very common for our members and our owner operators to switch between floats and skis and wheels, depending on the season.
Okay. Got to be a different landing attitude because the floats put you up so much higher.
Yeah, it's easy.
You get used to it. Yeah, okay. Hopefully.
It's like everything. It's all a matter of pilot training.
You know, I would explain it when you're in a 40-mile-an-hour go-kart and you're trying to figure out how to go around turn three and you just can't figure out how to do it. And it seems impossible to go at full throttle. And then you start driving an 80-mile-an-hour go-kart and you go around turn three and you get back in that 40-mile-an-hour go-kart and it feels like you're in slow motion. So everything, the brain is very elastic and it adapts to training and knowledge and the processing. Seaplane pilots operate in a very dynamic environment. And I think, again, that's one of the great skills that we offer non-seaplane pilots as far as getting a rating to fly seaplanes is you learn to really dynamically assess your situation and make very quick and accurate decision making.
Are river landings any more challenging than a lake landing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And that's because of
You have current, you have sandbars a lot of times that are moving the Mississippi River. You cannot see through the water, so you never know what's under the water, how deep it is, or where the sunken barge is. But also current, so you're coming into a dock, and as you slow down and you get slower than current speed, your water rudders reverse effectiveness.
Oh.
Because the river's now pushing your water rudder instead of you going through. So approaching a dock at an appropriate speed and being knowing how to quickly make that change when it happens.
Okay, so you sell a lot of floats that way while they're learning. Wow. I never thought about that.
No, I never did either.
I mean, the thing I was wondering about is like sunken logs. That could be an issue. You don't want to hit that.
No, that's our nemesis. So obviously we try to pass over, make sure we do a clearing run, make sure there's no water obstructions.
But at least you don't have to watch out for deer on the runway.
No, some deer can swim. That.
You say that. I'll tell you a story. So I was flying down. I flew the length of the Mississippi River in my Super Cub. We got to the Arkansas River, the confluence of the Arkansas and the Mississippi River. We did a spotting run around our landing area that we wanted to land in. I landed in it, and all of a sudden, I saw eyes and antlers. And I said, boy, I don't remember seeing that root ball from a tree being in the river. And as I went by, there were eyes and antlers. And it was a herd of deer had come out of the forest and were swimming across the river.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, geez.
Wow. Watch out for the deer on final. Jeez.
I've seen them on runways, but never in rivers.
I was going to say, that was one of my more interesting water obstacles.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was almost a brown pants moment.
I don't think the deer were happy with you either.
Yeah, what is that thing?
The size of their eyes. I'll never forget. Of course, in the Super Cub, you have the doors open, and all I saw were these huge brown eyes as I went by.
You must have been close.
It's great.
Wow. And I guess that happens more often than you think. Airplanes hit deer. You know? You explain that one to your insurance company. Yeah, it's in the middle of a river, and wow. What other functions do you guys do? Pilot advocacy and things?
So the Seaplane Pilots Association is extremely active in keeping waterways open. We work at a local, state, and federal level. We're working with the waterway regulators. We're addressing community concerns, water quality, aquatic invasive species, trying to educate people on the compatibility of seaplanes and boaters. You know, people don't realize that we're used to operating in remote areas without any infrastructure. And a lot of times the regulators will think, oh, we need to have, you know, a water-based patrol to make sure that we clear all the boats out of your area. Well, we take full responsibility for that as seaplane pilots for avoidance and conflict resolution. So we don't need any support. And a lot of times when there's an objection to us accessing water, it'll be because they feel like we have to have special, you know, water police to clear our area.
Right.
We're used to landing with boaters and being compatible with it, so it's really not an issue, but we have to do that education process.
I was going to say, and you got to train pilots how to land with boaters.
Oh, absolutely. That's part of the
training.
You
would hope that most boaters get out of the way, but you got to wonder.
They tend to want to follow us.
Yeah.
And chase us down. So, but, you know, it's just a great skill-building exercise. Learning to fly seaplanes, getting involved in our community. You know, we had a conversation just this morning about the amazing experiences that we get to take advantage of as seaplane pilots. Many, you know, if I travel all around the country, within 10 to 15 minutes, I can still, at any metropolis across the country, usually I can be at a waterway that's not accessible by roads, which means it's not accessible for most boaters either. So we get to go to very beautiful locations that most people will never get to experience as seaplane pilots.
Nice, nice. Sounds like something we need to do.
It sounds great.
We've been trying. We got you in.
And it was a blast. And anytime you want to send me up again, I'm here. I want to know if anybody's ever put a glider on floats.
If you go back to France to the very beginning, that's how it all started. So
really?
Oh, yes. So
I always thought seaplanes mainly started, obviously, remote locations. But the larger airplanes, they just didn't have airports for, like the, all the
If you get to the Boeing 314 and everything else. But, you know, literally, Glenn Curtiss invented the step. And without Curtiss's good work, we wouldn't, you know, be flying seaplanes as we do today. Yeah.
I'm guessing that somebody further down the line might have discovered it,
might
too.
Might have done it.
You never know.
A little bit of a tangent here. Bert Rutan was working on something he called the Ski Gull, and I don't know if
he
ever completed that or not.
Well, you know, unfortunately, it was probably his last airplane that he'll ever design. We were just out in his neighborhood a couple of weeks ago. He did a wonderful job. It was an amazing airplane. He had high aspirations, but quite honestly, there's a lot of tribal knowledge that goes into designing a seaplane specifically, and Bert had made some miscalculations, which I don't want to say that. I can hear the comments flying at the radio now, but the airplane needed modification to fly, and I think Bert's in a place now where
he's done everything.
He's probably done. Yeah. And it's a shame because his wife has a seaplane, Tanya, and they fly it very. They love flying together, and Tanya is a great seaplane pilot.
Cool. Well, I want to thank you for joining us again, Steve. It's always a blast having you here. And if, you know, pilots, go get wet.
Sounds great, guys.
And I was going to say, stop over at their booth. What building are you in?
Yeah, we're Hangar C, booth 3000, 3001. We have a big tent, blue tent, over at the seaplane base as well. I'd invite you to the corn roast, but it's sold out, except for these guys. They have special access.
Yeah, we're going to be the ones washing dishes.
Yeah, there you go. We'll be parking the seaplanes.
Yeah. All right. Thanks again, Steve. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.